Hello, this is Burke Midget with The Word Works, a podcast outreach of In Christ Ministries. By the way, The Word Works, and I'm glad you're here. Well, thank you for joining me today for this edition of The Word Works. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your love, your goodness, and your mercy. We thank you for revelation knowledge to flow far beyond the words that we speak today into the hearts and lives of these, your people. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're still talking with my brother-in-law, Paul Withrow. And Paul has shared some great truths with us and really gotten personal about his story. And I want him to finish up, if we can. I know he and I could go on for session after session in this. But at this point in time, I want him to finish up with talking about something the Lord put in his spirit, that kind of a story almost that will really, I believe, benefit everyone who hears this. So, Paul, go ahead and share what's on your heart that you shared with me.
Sometimes it's like dreams or something, I don't know, but I do better if I can watch a video or something. So God communicates to me that way many times. And so the story was the king who lived up in the castle decided to have a parade. So he has all of his people come down, and he's up on top of this thing that looks like a float. And he's going through the street, and there's this young man there that can't come to the parade. He's about 13 or 14 years old. And everybody knew this kid because he was the troublemaker of the town. He stole things. He lied. He cheated. He gambled. Every bad thing that could be done, this kid did it, and everybody despised him. Well, here he shows up at the parade. Well, the king is aware of this young man and aware of his reputation. So he sends out his lieutenant, and he says, go get that kid and bring him up here. So they stop. The lieutenant goes and grabs this kid, brings him before the king, and the king says, how would you like to come live in my house and be my son? And the crowd just is like astonished. They thought he was bringing him up to make an example out of him. But he brought him up and said, I want to adopt you as my son. I want you to move in the castle. Well, you know all the advice. Everybody that was in the castle did not want this to happen. And the kid's like, sure. Because in his mind, he's thinking what he's going to do when he gets in that castle. So the king brings him up. He moves into the castle. He gives him clothes. He gives him food. Then immediately the kid does what everybody thought he would do. He opens up a back door. He lets all his friends come in. They start drinking all the wine. They start stealing the clothes, and they steal all the stuff. And they all run off together with all the things that he stole. So the king sends his men to go find this kid, brings him back to the castle. And the kid thinks, well, he's going to kill me. But it was worth it. He had a good time. The king says, I forgive you. I want you to move back in the castle, and we'll start all over again. Okay? You're 100% restored to the position you were in before. Well, this goes on for years. So the kid, being around 12 years old, by the time he's 30, the king has completely trained him to take his position. So the king dies, and this kid that he took in is completely transformed and has all the wisdom and the abilities and the skills that the king had. But the king knew how to instill this into this kid to where he could then rule the kingdom. Well, that's the story. It can be a deeper story, but that's basically it. And what the Lord showed me was that's me and that's every other believer. We don't come in perfect. He's perfect. But the thing is, he understands what he's got to do to transform us. So the responsibility is on him. It's not on us. And if you think, you know, when he brought the kid in the second time, he was probably afraid he was going to be judged. But he wasn't. And that in itself has so much power to transform somebody, because forgiveness, restoration, and unconditional love is so powerful that he demonstrates it first. You know, we say He leads us. Well, he leads us by that example. And he says, now that's what I want you to do for other people. Well, I can, without question, tell somebody, if you come to the Lord, he will treat you right. And how do I know that? Because that's the way he treated me. And in the midst of how I treat them, I, as I walk in the Spirit, will treat them the same way. So that's the story. And I think that many of us deal with guilt when we mess up and everything. And we're thinking, oh, I disappointed the Lord. And I think the reality is he knows exactly what he's getting into when he receives us into the kingdom.
And there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's none.
Exactly.
He loves us unconditionally.
He does. And to build on that, love by God's definition is not what the world does. So it is a terrible illusion or misunderstanding that the world can in any way love the way that God loves us.
Right.
And that we can love each other. See, this is supernatural. And when we were talking about, you know, the term being born again, you have to be born again and the Spirit come inside you to perform this task of loving.
Yes.
Because by definition, the world doesn't love like that. It's impossible.
I remember A.W. Kenyon wrote a book called The New Kind of Love. Mm-hmm. That love doesn't come into existence. That unconditional love, it cannot do it through human love.
See, no matter how we think that we are self-denying, here's a mysterious thing. We think that we can just love, say, when you're in the world, we love somebody without an understanding of the love of God for us. In other words, let me say it this way. If God fills my cup up, my cup is full, and I choose to pour it out on you with full confidence that he's going to fill it right back up. In other words, he loves me so much that I can pour that out without hesitation, because I know where it came from and I know he'll fill me right back up again. So I can endure the pain that maybe a person would inflict, because, you know, you try to love somebody and they'll bite you, you know, and the world will draw back from that. The world will reject that person, but Jesus didn't do us that way. And he doesn't do us that way now. I mean, he endured the cross. It said,
for the joy set before us, he endured the cross.
Yes. But while we were yet sinners, he died for us. So you can't create, the world does not possess that. It has to come from him through the Holy Spirit into our heart. Then we can operate in it. If that doesn't happen, you can't do it. It doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from human source. It is a supernatural thing that has to be given to us. Jesus received the Holy Spirit, you know. John baptized him, raised him up. The Holy Spirit lit upon him. We have to have the same thing happen to us, or we can't. Then he went out in power. We can't go out in power to love anything until he endues us with power from on high to do it. So that supernatural love has to come from outside of ourselves. Okay, it's deposited inside of us. It's given all at one time. It's given to us now. We're to release it. He said, "Pick up your, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me." Okay, without getting into too much theology, we know that we have a tendency to not love people. Okay, well, how do you deal with that? Well, the cross, you've got to pick up your cross and deny yourself and get out of the way. You know, you can't, instead of buying a steak, you buy two hamburgers and you give one to somebody. I mean, it's just that kind of thing that, yeah, you can have what you want, but you choose not to.
And you know, Paul, as long as I've known you, that's what I've seen you walk in. And I'm not, you know, patting you on the back, but I've seen you deny yourself in order to help other people. And that's true Christianity. I mean, that's what Christianity is all about.
Well, it is not possible without the Holy Spirit. Left unto ourselves, we can appear to be loving people, but we're not. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the reality. We're building a kingdom here, and it is His kingdom the way He wants it built, stone upon stone, exactly the way He wants it built. So He has to equip us to do it. We don't know how to do this. There's no way. You can't study your way into it. So He gives us the one thing. He said, they'll know you're My disciples because you have love one for another. Okay, the world wants what we have. See, we don't see it that way. You know, we're like so concentrated on what we're doing, we can't step back to see that the world is amazed when they see true Christianity. They want it. They want somebody to care about them like that.
I think even Gandhi said that, something to the effect of, I can't quote it off the top of my head, but like, I'll become a Christian when I see one.
Right. Well, it is everything. And I think the simplicity of that eludes us because we want to do the big things, right? Well, the simple thing of loving somebody on a continual basis, enduring with people, to continue loving them over a long period of time, even when they disappoint you. I mean, parents understand that with children. You know, people, loved ones, you know, people who you prayed for 50 years to get saved. You know, we understand endurance. Some of us do. Well, see, that's the lasting power that we just and put our arms around somebody, no matter what they're doing. You know, because our hope is, look, I don't know if they're going to get saved. I don't have the power to save them, but I can love them. And that is our foundation. That's our currency. That's our language. And if we don't start there, we're not really going to get anywhere. You know, it's got to be there and build upon that. That's the simplicity of it. It's not, that is the thing. If you're around somebody that just makes you feel at peace and you know they're not judging you, you can relax and then you can start talking to them about Jesus. But if they're all tensed up and feel condemned around you, you're not going to get anywhere with them.
That is so powerful, what you just said. Why don't you close us in prayer? This has been wonderful to spend these sessions with you, as we like to do every year. But just pray whatever's on your heart for people. And you always try to think there are people in different countries who are listening to this, in different situations. But the truth supersedes all the cultures and the ways of life and the things we've heard all our life and what we've grown up in. And God has really used you in these sessions. And in this last one about love, that unconditional love is so important. Pray what's on your heart for the people who are listening to this.
Okay. Lord, I know that you just want us to approach you and believe that you'll receive us. And Lord, when we do that and we can come before you and relax and just be comfortable in your presence, Lord, that you'll give us wisdom. And Lord, I know that I ran around to every seminar, read every book, sat on every pew I could trying to find you and to hear from you. And I've realized that all those things are breadcrumbs just leading me to you. And so, Lord, I just pray that whoever is hearing this, Lord, that they'll take that step of getting alone and just cry out to you and ask you to reveal yourself to them, and that they'll endure to stay with you long enough to be able to experience your hand on them. And then if they'll stay long enough to allow you to open their ears where they can begin to hear you, and that they'll open their scriptures and ask you to teach them what this book means, and that they will be willing to endure the persecution they're going to receive when they begin to repeat what you say to them. Because, Lord, I know that's an important part, because you're going to say things that to them will be very controversial because they're hearing it from you. They're not hearing it from a strange voice. They're hearing it in their heart, and it will resonate in their heart that this is truth. So, Lord, I just pray everybody simply talk to you and be with an expectation of hearing you speak back. So, Lord, I just thank you for this time, and that these words will go out and bear fruit.
Thanks for joining us today for The Word Works, a podcast outreach of In Christ Ministries. Please consider subscribing to receive our latest podcasts. For more information about this ministry and additional resources, please visit us at bertandjoe.com. That's BERTANDJO.com. And remember, the Word works.